Welcome back to another episode of Girl Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Debbie Sugru, and today's episode is a Q&A on all things starting a business. Welcome back, girls. So I am so glad to hear that all of you loved the 15-minute little blitz. So I might start doing those every week because I know a lot of you are in lockdown still across the world. I've got most of my listeners in the UK. So shout out to everyone from the UK and around the world that have been sending me DMs. I am so grateful for your feedback, and I know that you guys are using this time super wisely, which is so important for our Girl Boss community. So obviously, I know a lot of you are going to want to tackle some big goals. A lot of those goals will be business related. So today, I'm going to be doing a popular business startup question. So I went on Google, I haven't asked anyone anything, and I've looked at the top maybe 20 most common startup questions, and I'm going to answer those for you from my perspective, because I know a lot of you like my advice and have found it really useful. And so I want to continue answering those questions for our community and obviously gathering feedback as well. Some of these I'm going to just fly through. Others I'll talk in more detail. It just depends on how relevant I think they are. We're going to get right on into it. And the first question that most people ask Google is, what kind of business should I start? So this is honestly a case-by-case answer, but I would specifically start with something that you know you will most likely want to continue. Something that you are good at, something that you like, something that actually has scalability. And what I mean by that is something that isn't just like something you can make at home and only you can make it and things like that. You know, you're limiting yourself, especially if you want to do online. If you want to be very, very niche and have something really, really small that's going to stay small, that's fine. But we're just going to talk about something that can potentially be a big brand and scalable across the world. So I would be doing a lot of market research after you've kind of had an idea come to you, something that you're good at, something that you're passionate about, something that you know well, or something that you're keen to learn more about. It's very, very important to really understand the market, not just have a passion and then get to the market and realize that it's completely saturated or it's dead. Because like at the end of the day, yes, you need to be passionate, and yes, you need to like and know your niche, but at the same time, you need to know that there is a need for that at the moment and will be in the next 3 to 5, 10 years and things like that. So I would say it is down to a couple of things. Those are probably the main points, and something as well that you can obviously afford to start. Some businesses are going to cost a lot less than others, and you just got to factor in a couple of things there that I can talk about in another podcast if you guys want more on what kind of business you should start. The next question is, can I operate my business from home? Of course, a lot of businesses are e-com businesses. You can start straight away, build a Shopify store, get a logo, register the business, get an accountant, do all your all those things. And then, yeah, you just start from home and see how you go. I mean, it's really not an overnight thing, but yeah, you can definitely start it solo and alone and build your resources up over time where needed. Okay, the next one is probably one of my most frequently asked questions as well. And this is, how much money do I need? To be honest with you guys, you can start a business from scratch with like $4,000 to $5,000, but you're only going to really get so far if you don't start making money back quickly. So it's very, very different in some cases. There are unique cases where you can start with nothing pretty much, and you've got maybe an audience on Instagram where, you know, you can start making some revenue quickly and things like that. These are really not applicable to most people. So I'm going to just say a good number to start with is probably around, in Australian dollars, $10,000, which is around £4,000. That is the very bare minimum. And in that, you need to have a plan on how you're going to start generating revenue pretty much from the get-go back in. And I'm not saying it that you need to start generating revenue to make profits. You're probably not going to make any profit for 6 to 12 months, even longer. And that is very, very normal. So you will be making money, but profit is completely different to making money. So making profit is a little bit different. Yeah. So I can touch on that in another podcast if you need, but realistically, you want to be starting to make revenue. And when you do this, you also want to be putting that money back into advertising and putting it into the business to enable that business to grow. Might just be having better copywriters. There's a number of things that each business needs, but you do need to make sure that you do have funds fueling that business to thrive and grow. And you actually do need a specific plan in place that suits that budget to enable you to grow, especially if you're going to be online. Your Instagram cannot be halting, for example. If you're a business and you are not growing on Instagram, something isn't working that you're doing, and you really can't just sit at 400 followers unless you've got a physical store where that's your primary market. If you're really serious about doing business online, your brand perception is really important. If customers that have been around or have acquired onto your Instagram see that you're not really growing or doing much, it's not a really good look for the business. They're going to find competitors offering the same product that seem to be putting more effort in. And you would do this too. It just leads the public to believe that if someone else is growing and you're not, in business, they're doing something better than you. Like, more people are going there instead of to you, if that makes sense. So yes, Instagram followers and Facebook followers are not, you know, like going to guarantee sales and revenue, but they will secure your current client base, and they will give off a better brand perspective. So you need to be putting money into those things: growth, brand awareness, influencer marketing, ads, things like that where you can. But I would be making sure that your brand presence is really, really strong to give yourself the best chance of, when you do spend those advertising dollars, people actually feel like they can trust you and that you actually are doing something right and you're really serious about your product, and you're not just starting something up and with the mindset of, we'll see how it goes. That's not the right attitude to have. So that's big topic, the money one, but you need to be putting money in. So yeah. How do I pick a location? Obviously, this is going to come down to, I'm not really great with physical stores and things like that. It's not something I've done before. I've only done online business. So I would say maybe, chat to builders, interior designers, review spaces with, your business partner, if you've got one, or somebody that knows what you're going to actually need when you're operating, and make sure that that space accommodates both your clients and your store needs and your spa needs or whatever it is, and that the space that you have and the location is useful for that, I guess. Just make sure that you've got professionals around if you're new to it, because I do listen to podcasts on people that start up spas and clinics and things, and most of them that do really well do hire an interior designer, just because there's so many things that you don't really think about until you're operating that they know about. So I think little things like that really matter, and obviously there's costs to doing that, so it's definitely down to budget as well, on what you can afford to pay for rent and things like that, and parking and all of that. So I would be personally looking at, if you are new to it, talking to professionals and getting as much input with that as possible. So how do you know who your customer base is? So this is actually a really good question, because obviously this is really, really important if you are creating ads and doing social media. I think one of the things that I probably see the most, especially in one of my businesses, is like we have a lot of business clients and a lot of startups. And I think one of the most important things is understanding the differences between traditional advertising and social media. Yes, you can really fine tune your target audience, but at the same time, like, a lot of products, they can be used by most people. I know that's, or like a member of the family or something like that. Honestly, for me, as much eyes as possible is extremely useful in terms of brand trust and awareness, and maybe referrals through ads and things like that. But refining your niche is going to take time and testing, and you need to really understand what age categories, like the basics first, that you think would be most interested in your products and services, and then sort of do a few trial runs with different ads and influencers and photos and content and videos, and see who is responding best, and kind of start putting a bit more into more effort and money into the categories and locations that you feel are responding a little bit more. And then when you get more money and you build up more, you can obviously try new things. But I do believe that in the testing phases, you need as many eyes as you can get when it comes to finding out who your customers are, because without making sales and getting as much attention as you can initially, that's why launches are really important. It brings all this attention. It then sort of fine tunes who your customers are going to be in the initial stages when you do your first drop or your first year in business. And that is really, really key to honing in on that until you've got funds to expand. So should I write my own business plan is the next question. And I would say that it really just depends on your experience and your goals for your business. Like, obviously, a lot of people need business plans for different reasons. Could be just for funding or government grants and things like that. So, or it could just be to keep yourself on track and do some different things in the future, or it could just be to get an idea of what you're actually going to do before you start a business. To be honest with you guys, I used to write business plans before my business, and now I just use a business plan for certain things. If, for example, an investor was to ask me, you know, if an investor came to me, and they asked me, you know, a few questions about the business, and they wanted to possibly invest and be a shareholder of a business that I have, that would be something that I would use a business plan and other like presentations and pitch decks and things like that for. I don't personally have entitlements to grants because I'm not from Australia. I'm not a resident or anything for government. But I do know that if I was, you would, or if you are starting a business in your own home country, these are all very important things for that. So like getting financial assistance and stuff like that. And then obviously as well, you know, a business plan is there for a reason. So you've got, if you are a beginner, and you really need help on the entire plan for the business and how it's going to work and what you need and X, Y, and Z, I would say there is no harm in doing it, but a lot of plans do change. So I wouldn't be spending a year or 6 months making a business plan and really not taking any action. I'm a very action focused person. So yeah, plans are great, but you can make a basic one yourself. And then if you need something a bit better, yeah, get some help with it. If there's money involved and you want to give yourself the best chance of getting funding or grants and whatnot. So the next one is, am I better off buying a franchise or starting a new company? So this is an amazing question. And I honestly think both are great. Now, both are going to have costs to them. So I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to have to pay the franchise fee each month. But I don't think a lot of people understand that if you're starting a new company or a brand specifically, building that brand up, like, is not just the product, but the branding side of it. To create a strong brand, it will cost you maybe the same or a lot more. And I'm just being completely honest about that. A lot of people, you know, look at big brands and they think about the product that that brand is selling. So for example, we'll just use teeth whitening kit. People are like, oh, I can start a teeth whitening kit. It only costs like, teeth whitening business, sorry. It only costs like, what, $10 to make the whole product. You sell it for $80, right? that's all good, but at the end of the day, like a lot of the time, where the value comes into certain businesses and why some grow a lot more than others, even though the products are pretty much the same, is because they put money into the brand. So being in business means that, yeah, you pay for your product, you pay for your staff, you pay for all of these things, but you actually pay for the, you have to pay a lot and invest a lot to make a strong brand. The brand side of it and the exposure and all of that and the credibility of the brand and how it looks and how it's like the voice of the brand, that can take, if you're really good at that stuff initially and you don't need help with that, I can tell you now, it's a different ballgame to really compete with the best of the best brands and actually break into the market properly, if that's your goal. And so when you want to do that, you need funding and resources and talent to be able to create that, because that is a big, big goal. So when you buy a franchise, for example, whether it's like a local franchise, obviously, the brand is already established and built, so people automatically trust it. So when you first open your doors, people know who you are. People know what you do. They already know everything about your business, meaning it takes all of that time and effort out. So I think that that is a much more affordable option, even though you've got that extra fee and you're restricted in what you do. But at the same time, when you actually try to build a brand, it is a lot of thought and time, along with the operations of the business and dealing with all the problems that you actually take away. So you just get right into it and you start operating the business and running it. In saying that though, a lot of entrepreneurs will not want to do that. They want to create their own thing. They want to be innovative and they're going to put in everything and more to make that happen. So it really just depends on what you like about business. Is it just being the owner, which would be an amazing thing for a franchise owner, or if you're brand new and you want to start out and learn the operational side of the business and what the brand, like how that brand became what it is, amazing. But if you're like fully in this too, and you've already got your whole idea mapped out in your mind and you just don't want to take any time away from building that, then go with the new company. So it really just depends on who you are, what you like to do, and what you're all about really, and where you're at as well, experience wise, I guess, and financially. So it says, should I start one company for question number 8 or several? Generally, you know what? Obviously, if you want to really make something work, you really, really need to hyper focus, because one business is going to take everything and more to make successful. But the thing that a lot of people do is they start a lot of them. And when I was first starting out, I used to start like 10. And the thing is, you can only really get so far. I would start 10 and see what one, basically, I'm not exactly 10, but I would start a lot and then see what one was like best. And I would just kind of hop around. And that was when I was 20, 19, you know, like really young and just really starting out and dabbling a little bit. And I wasn't really giving one specific idea all of my energy. So I would like get so far and then I would be like, oh, I've thought of another thing. I want to do that now. And I would be like that for a little bit. And so obviously I had a job at this point, so it didn't really matter. But at the same time, you really need to kind of go all in. And it is definitely fine to change direction if you've actually went all in on an idea. You've parked some other ideas for later if, you know, you wanted to get around to them. But just because you're not getting traction initially, or you're not making profit, money, sales, or you're not, no one really seems to be responding, it doesn't mean that it won't happen. It's actually, you appreciate it more when you finally do get something across the line, or, you know, you get somewhere in it, but you need to really stick at it. It's not about getting instant gratification. It's not like you start a job and in the first week you make a sale, or, you know, you get some sort of like rise in your pay or something like that. It's not like that in business. You've got to actually really grind it out until, you know, that day is going to come, and you've got to believe it's going to come, and you've got to understand how and why, and you just got to trust that journey. But it's definitely not going to be an overnight thing for most of you guys. And if it is, congrats, that's incredible and must feel freaking amazing. But you just got to trust that it will work. And yeah, I mean, definitely stick with it, because it is honestly going to take a little bit of time. So just start one and park the rest of the ideas for later. Okay, so the next one is question number 9, and it is, when can I expect to be profitable? So this is something that a lot of people think, once you've got a business and you're making money or you're doing well, people always think that you're profitable and you're making all this money. I actually would love to share this in this podcast, actually, because most businesses don't actually turn over a profit for 12 to 18 months. You know, that's really normal. And a lot, even when a situation occurred at the beginning of the year, I actually had a lot of startups on my client base list. And this is something that we are now changing as a business, because we do need more experienced business owners to understand this, because a lot of people do start business and they think that just because someone's making sales or has clients or has made X amount of sales that they're profitable and they've got money available. Not the case. So when you make sales in business, if you are really serious about your business, that money should be going back in to grow your business more. Now, at this period in our business, something financially happened where the business was, money was stolen from the business, just going to put it simply, quite a chunk. And a lot of clients didn't understand that the money that was stolen from the business was no longer available. Now, this was a completely different scenario, but anything spare that we had would have went back into the company to grow the company more. There was new products coming up, and that was a big investment. There was customer service, staff, operations, tech team, accountants, ads, influencers, all of this expenses going out. So yes, we definitely had clients paying money in, but the thing is that that money doesn't stay in my pocket and I don't just head to the shops and go shopping. That money is there for the business. The money is there for the business. It's there to make the business actually work and to give the clients the best value. And so when problems arise and things like that, and you're in the early stages, it can be quite tricky. And this is where being profitable may take longer than even 18 months. You may run into some financial problems, which is something that I don't want you guys to get too worried about, because we're not going to live forever. So it's just sometimes a lesson, and sometimes, you know, you will be fucked over and you will have things that you never really thought could happen. And even when you're not turning over a profit, you think you're getting into a deeper hole and things like that. These things do happen. And this happened to me. And I've been really, really open and really honest about it. And you can be in a fairly big deficit that you got to climb out of. You know, if you're really running a business, you've got it to a certain stage and something happens. So these are all just things that, you know, can happen. And it can really suck. Honestly, it can feel really, really stressful. But at the same time, I wouldn't be expecting to be profitable very, very quickly. And if you are being profitable really, really quickly, it's probably just going to be a real small income most of the time, because yeah, to reach a lot of people to make substantial revenue, you're going to need more resources and things like that. So it really just depends. But I wouldn't be expecting to be profitable in under a year. So I'll answer two more. Okay, so what kind of, should I hire someone for social media? Okay, so obviously social media is so important in your business. If you don't have it and you're not actively working on your social media presence, even from before you start up, you should be generating audiences, interest groups and things like that, to really get people prepared for your business. If you're already operating and this is not something you're working on, I honestly don't understand. I think it's time to get a course and just learn about the basics of marketing in 2021. Anyways, should you hire someone? Yes, I think a lot of people should hire someone. We talk to a lot of businesses each and every day from around the world, and some have some stand out. So your tone via DM, for example, Some are just sharp, and it does not matter, guys, who is at the end of your DMs and messages and comments. If you do not know how to communicate in a certain way, social media is very different to email. Email is stern, it's serious, it's professional, it's different. On social media, you need to have a tone, and if it comes across like an email is written, people are going to be extremely put off your brand. Not everybody, but majority. And that includes us. We are a business-to-business media company, and we help brands to grow through social media. There are so many people that have Gmail accounts. There are so many people that haven't actually even set up the infrastructure of the business, which is fine if you're starting up and you're just getting ready. But there are so many things that people need to know before you head into market to actually try and make the best first impression. And we all make mistakes. There's no problem with that. Some people want to use a Hotmail. Some people want to use an Outlook. It's fine. If that is how you want to do it, do it. But in saying that, you should be paying the $10 a month or whatever it is for a G Suite account or a proper Outlook account where you know you've got info at or hello at as your business. I know this is a bit off track, but it is such an important piece of info that we see all the time. Hiring someone for your social media, if you're prepared to be smiley and happy and upbeat and emoji, absolutely do it yourself until you get too busy. If you're really, really busy, you can't manage that side of it. Make sure you have someone that understands the communication methods for social media with customer interaction. It is different, guys. And you probably need a vibrant young person that's really, really excited and happy and loves emojis and knows what they are, is up to date on all of that. Because otherwise you're coming across stern, unprofessional, inexperienced. And I'm not joking. There is thousands of those types of businesses out there. They just give off the worst impression. And just because I'm not a buying customer, I am me. I can see who you are. I can see it. My staff can see it. Everyone can see it. And you're still communicating with people that could have been potential customers. And it's off-putting. We had a meeting about this. So the next one and the last one is, what if I fail? Okay. So if you fail, guys, you know what? You don't fail unless you quit. Just go back to the drawing board. Like, honestly, the most successful entrepreneurs in the world have failed. And, you know, they've had to close down a few of their small businesses before getting the proper one right. And that's normal. And you just got to be in it for the long haul. Like I said, like, don't have this expectation of getting it right firsthand. Don't think you're going to be profitable in under a year. And just make sure that, like, when you are learning and stuff like that and you're trying things out, don't get disheartened if your business doesn't work initially. It is normal. I know people that are extremely experienced in business and still get things wrong that I would have gotten right, and vice versa. Like, it's honestly, like, I'm not saying that I would have got that right, but I'm just saying there's different things that people do when sometimes pressure is on and things like that, that happen. And when it's your first time, don't worry, you will get it right. You just got to keep getting up, trying again and again and again. You know, you're here for a reason. If you're in this game, you're here for this game, and that's it. And it will take a few tries most of the time. Like I said, people give a lot of unrealistic expectations. And also, don't be fooled by Instagram. I know my audience is a bit younger, so they see all these younger girls starting up businesses and they're like, wow, like, they're doing so well, I want to do that. Great, get inspo from it, but do not take them doing well on the face of Instagram as them doing as well as you want to do. Because for some people, guys, they're happy to earn like a small living from Instagram or from online. They're not really shooting for the stars. So when they're saying, oh, I'm smashing it and I'm killing it, like, they're probably making the same amount of money. Not that that's the main goal here as a customer service rep or a Woolworths worker. It's not, this is not to be condescending in any way. It's just to be like, there is context to everything. And when some people are just too focused on enjoying what they do each day, which I value more personally, and they want to take a pay cut, and they're so happy and they're like, I'm thriving, I'm loving what I do, I'm so happy, that does not mean they're making millions of dollars. So if you're really serious about business and you are thinking about long-term building a brand, all that stuff, or operating a major franchise, something like that, and you have specific financial goals in place, or you've got certain lifestyle goals in place, or things that you want to do or get from it, just remember to kind of stay in your own lane. And when you fail at certain things, maybe they were working to a certain point that a lot of people would be satisfied with, but you're not. You know, don't take it as a failure. Just redirect, get back to the drawing board, and remember just to completely concentrate on what you know is real, and that is your own life and your own business. You don't really have time as well to be comparing yourself to others. A lot of people get a lot of things in ways that you don't really understand and know. I've been opened up to so many different things as I get older and older that I didn't even know would happen type things. So when you see someone potentially like doing better than you on Instagram or on online or even in person, and they're showing off all this luxury stuff, or they've got a new car, you have no idea how they've got this stuff. So you don't want to really compare yourself to that. The reality of starting a business is that you're probably not going to make any money in the first year profit. I'm not saying you're not going to make any sales. I'm saying you won't probably be able to pay yourself anything decent because you have to make that business work. There's nothing wrong with that. And anyone that doesn't understand that doesn't understand business. The second thing is the branding. You need to make sure that you're either, you know, prepared to make that brand strong and get it really, really pumping. And if it's something that you're thinking about doing long term and expanding and growing, definitely. And you just need to not worry as well so much about failing. I know a lot of people are always worried about it not working out, but guys, you're not going to live forever. It's literally a timeline. You got to get up and try as many things. Give it your all. Make sure that you stick with it when things get tough. And when you get and when things don't work out or something happens, don't get disheartened. I promise you, you're on this road for a reason. You're listening for a reason. So I'm going to leave it here because we are probably a little bit long today, but I thought this one would be good to do. Yeah, we're just over 30 minutes here. And I cannot wait to get back on here next week talking to you guys and hopefully hearing some feedback from this. Hope it helped. Hope anyone in lockdown is having a nice rest. And hopefully we can all travel soon and be back to full normality. If you don't mind and you like this podcast, do please rate us on Apple Podcasts. This brings the ranking of the podcast up so we can expand our community more and more and more. Have more girl bosses from all over the world. How cool would that be? And yeah, I will see you guys later. Don't forget to tag me and I will write back to you on IG. Bye.